Hey everyone, and welcome to the Infinite Respawn Podcast. I'm Chicken.
I'm Oaktree.
I'm Griff.
I'm Bucket.
Just jump right in.
Because we hit the 2 minute mark, I usually try to wait for a nice little segment to jump into it. It was like 158, 159, start. I was like, okay, we'll go. That's the beginning of the show.
That's all the whole show is going to be. We're just going to like shotgun this thing and get out of here, right? That's
shotgun,
the plan.
Let's go.
Shotgun.
Fine. We'll save all of our fun stuff for later. What about the news? That's boring. Let's get it out of the way first.
I mean, to carry on with the whole Embracer Group thing and getting rid of people, which everybody's been following, they made a bet on getting a bunch of money. The bet did not pay off, so now they've got to sell off a shit ton of assets to try to make it up. And the final one that they have sold
is, that's a real word.
Is Gearbox Interactive to Take Two. So now Take Two owns Gearbox Interactive for $460 million.
Shocking no one, considering that it was their publisher anyway.
Yeah, so they have them.
I imagine this is only going to be worse for anything that they own. So Borderlands and Risk of Rain and all that stuff, yeah. I imagine this is not going to go well. Take-Two is...
As long as they leave Risk of Rain, like, out of all of those games, they just need to leave Risk of Rain alone. Let them cook. Because the evolution from the first game to the second game was probably one of the best sequels I've ever seen in, like, advancement of gameplay style. So whatever they do for Risk of Rain 3 has got to be... at least something on part of that. Just let them be.
Wasn't the rumors on Risk of Rain 3 going back to 2D, though?
There might have been.
I have no idea. That's not my... That's not my jam.
Something I had seen recently, but maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
But $460 million. I wish I had
pocket change.
$9.
That's pocket change for rich people.
Just kidding. That's a lot of money.
You ever leave a $5 tip? Yeah, that's what they're doing to the company. Whatever. Here, just take this. Move some things around. Find some pennies in the cushions. You'll be fine.
Oh, well, we'll see what happens with that in the long run. You think we'll see another Duke Nukem? Because that's one of the franchises that, you know,
I know.
They own now.
Probably not.
The problem you run in with Duke Nukem is you can't make a Duke Nukem game now just because of the
crude
the way society, they can't handle it. Like they just did, like we have evolved to where that style of game is no longer a thing. Like that humor is no longer part of who we are. So they could do it, but you're going to have, you know, Gen Xers and maybe some boomers play the game and that's about it. You're not going to have, I don't think you're going to have that many people. Maybe some 15-year-olds will pick it up that aren't supposed to be playing the game anyway because it'll be for mature audiences. Because the original one, I don't know how the Duke Nukem Forever was other than awful, but
sums it up probably.
Duke Nukem 3D was like, you know, you're going into a strip joint. You have just the humor was very crude overall. I'm not sure if today's society would be able to handle the game, and you couldn't change that part of him, I don't think, and make an entertaining game. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you make it a lot like what's that game that you really like that was you had like the chain mechanic.
This
is a sci-fi.
Bulletstorm.
Make it like Bulletstorm.
Bulletstorm would be people would be a lot harsher on Bulletstorm now too. And I'm not arguing that that's a bad thing. Some of the creative curse words in that game and things that were said and insinuated were definitely, you know, bad. And I guess, you know, to get across the idea that most of it was coming from a bad person, I get that, but yeah. Leash thing if I could get another game with that mechanic. That'd be great.
That's a good mechanic to have.
It was fun.
Sometimes we have to be able to separate, like, some games, comedic styles, yes, are a little bit rough, but...
risque.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a bad thing, as long as, like, developers aren't
GTA
making it
is
on
probably
a
not
malicious...
Gonna, yeah, point. I don't think Rockstar is gonna nice up GTA 6, for when that releases.
With the Grand Theft Auto series, it's kind of, like... A bit like modern satire.
Yeah, it's kind of predicated on that, like, pushing the envelope, edgy. But like,
if you go back and play some of the older ones, some of the humor and stuff may not be as funny or as relevant anymore.
Right.
But, so that, I mean, 6 will probably be more up to date with the humor and stuff. I mean, even if you go back and play 5, so some of the humors are already getting a little bit dated.
Yeah, I mean, it was 2012, I think it was, so 12 years ago. Long time ago. I mean, you've seen the teaser, whatever, for GTA 6. You can see where they're kind of getting their humor
Here's the
from.
Real question,
like,
though.
Real life inspirations.
They are going to update the humor, like Blacka said. So are they updating it to the point where we don't get it anymore because we're too old now? Or are we still going to get it? Like,
I think the problem you run into is the fact that I feel like the people making the game are still close enough to our age to where that humor is going to stick.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure, but it could end up being, hopefully not, it could be in closer to the more recent Saints Row, where it sounded like, it would, like you said, the script writing seemed like some of the jokes didn't fit.
It was
because we were too old.
It's not that we were too old. Joke. It was that the problem with that Saints Row is it was very obvious that it was written by somebody older than me that was trying to write for somebody way younger than me.
As far as you know, that could just be how younger people write these days. Not be good. It could not be good. But I mean, that's how it happens for all of us. Our parents thought our humor was bad. You're going to think the next generation's humor is bad, and so on and so on. That's how it always works. Like, you will get outdated at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
You will always
get
outdated at some point.
You can usually... It is possible to stay, you know, current with things and get the jokes and whatnot. It's just one of those...
You can understand them, but that doesn't make them funny to you.
I'm trying to think of a situation in which that's been the case, wherever, like, there was, like, a teenager that was dying laughing at something that I didn't get, but I don't know.
I mean, it's because you don't stay up with trends and things like that, because that's not your entertainment sphere, but that is their entertainment sphere now.
Well, and to be fair, I mean, what we found entertaining when we were 15, 16 years old and what we find entertaining now is not the same thing either.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
Age doesn't always have to do with it either, though. Like I remember growing up, so many people were like, oh, Jackass is the funniest shit I have ever seen. And I'm watching it going, this is fucking dumb.
Yeah,
but that's the point. Dumb humor.
Too. Yeah, I'm dumb definitely humor. Not. There yeah, that's different just, kinds it's... of humor, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't find people getting hurt funny, personally. But
plenty of people did, though. That's the difference.
Yeah, I mean, they did. And then it started a whole trend where people were doing it in their
morons,
back cards.
But, you know.
Hey. Yeah. We're all different in our humor styles and whatnot. And like, I mean, you show a kid cartoons from what we thought were funny back then, and they're just like, this is just dumb. Like, how
I will say that
you laugh at that stuff.
My kids still enjoy what we have, but it's like, I think it depends on what you know, what you're watching at the time. Like, if my kids like the original DuckTales, they don't like the modern DuckTales. But they've seen the original DuckTales first before the modern ones came out, so that could be part of it too.
No, the modern one was still pretty good, though.
I didn't dislike it. It's the art that I didn't care for. Like their choice of... I like the original animation versus the more modern one. But also, you know, Scooby-Doo. My kids grew up on the original Scooby-Doo. You know, from the 1969, I think, is when that one originally started. So they grew up with it. So I think there's certain things that are going to transcend generations, but there's going to be certain things that, like Bluey would be a great example, where a bunch of adults are enjoying kids' show as well. Not
and
this
they're
adult.
Doing that show right too, because all the voice actors of the kids in that show are completely unknown. Like, they keep the kids protected in that show, which, holy shit, it's about damn time. Like, if you're going to be a kid actor or voice actor or whatnot, just keep them away from everything. Like, they could do their voice acting job, just leave it at that. Because I forgot what show it was. When they found out
You said it was Finn from Adventure Time.
Oh, yeah. When they found out who voiced Finn from Adventure Time, the amount of harassment that that kid got was unparalleled, which I don't understand how people can, like, justify to themselves of harassing a kid for voice acting something.
I don't understand people harassing voice actors.
Leave it to the fucking internet to be, like, just crazy.
But yeah, I don't disagree. I think Duke Nukem would be a little difficult, but I don't know.
I would love to see a Doom-like style game if they were to do it, like because that game was kind of crude and you know, like the creatures would explode and stuff like that when you blew them up. I think you could do it and do it right in that respect, but I think you would have to just change the script
of Vernacular itself. To update the humor and the jokes.
Yep.
Yes.
Which is going to completely push out the old school audience of it.
I think you could still be somewhat crude. It would just have to be a slightly tweaked version of crude. It's just
Add in like half naked men in there as well, but besides just, you know, the half naked women.
Yeah, I mean, come on, change them to bowls of fruit for all we care.
Bowls of fruit dancing around Blizzard a bowl. Weird.
That's what Blizzard did in one of the old raids. There were pictures of like sexy ladies and whatnot. They changed all the sexy lady pictures to bowls of fruit.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, this castle, whoever made this, really has a thing.
Really likes
fruit.
Them fruits. Look at the melons, the watermelons.
Watermelons. No, for real. I mean,
look at the watermelons. Well,
Lord.
Speaking of older games, the Splinter Cell remake, which is this supposed to be the original Splinter Cell?
It is, right? Isn't it?
I feel like it's a reboot and not really a remake, series? But they're saying remake. I think remake is what everybody's assuming it's going to end up being.
Well,
but I think it's a reboot
either
of the
way,
series.
First of all, we need Sam Fisher back. Holy shit. Come
yes,
on.
We do.
Like, this is definitely a game that we could use more of. But we're hoping that the update may be coming in June, so maybe we'll see more, because my dream, and also I got my GameCube and I did find my Splinter Cell Chaos Theory Disc 1. I don't know where Disc 2 is, but I have Disc 1.
You cannot play that with Nugget.
You had it on GameCube?
Yeah, I had it on GameCube.
Wow, I had it on the OG Xbox.
Yeah, I had it on GameCube.
That was one of the first games I remember playing on Xbox Live. Because you could play back and forth. You could play with the people for co-op.
Oh, still, hands down, short of like Splinter Cell Chaos Theory is like the hands down best co-op experience I've ever fucking experienced.
Agreed.
I could still see like the levels and whatnot. It's so good. My number two would be Army of Two. Like that co-op style game is like.
Yeah, you two played co-op. That one, right? You and Griff played that one, right?
We played that one and then the second one, and they mutilated the fucking characters in the second one. Like, it was tragic what they did to the characters. They turned them into, like, Army Day.
Army of Two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they, like, mutilated the characters. There was mutual respect, lots of camaraderie, like, brothers in arms in the first one. And then in the second one, they just made them, like, the fat guy jokes and the little guy jokes. And it's like, wow. You just destroy these characters after making them so well.
It was pretty sad.
I thought that they were totally different characters on the second time around.
It's supposed to be the same, too. That's the problem.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That makes it even worse now. Yeah. He's in there thinking to himself, I thought they were different characters. Nope.
Yeah, that was the problem. And I was like, oh, hell yeah, we're getting the second one. Started playing it with Griff, and I was like, halfway through, I was like, God, what did they do to these characters? Mm-hmm. They, like, brutalized them.
It felt awful.
This is not cool.
You know, a lot of the comments are like, this Splinter Cell thing, this announcement's probably going to be for a mobile game. And it's like, oh, that would hurt. A mobile game or a Fortnite tie-in. Those are the two leading comments.
Damn it. We need this kind of stealth game again, because it's...
Having played it, would you rather it be a reboot or a remake?
Either one is fine.
I mean, I have no dog to fight. I don't know what
it's like. As long as the reboot is a true reboot in the fact that he goes back to being in the dark.
Yes.
Because they did this thing where, which they kind of had to do plot line wise. I think Double Agent was the first one that they did it on, where it was, where he was. It was you're in the middle of the daylight for part of it, so you're trying to do your stealth. It reminded me of Hitman more than it did of so you're just trying to move around in the daytime, and it was really hard to do the stealth because of that. Because one of the things with him is you have a light meter, and it lets you know whether or not you're being seen or not based on that light meter. And it was a very basic light meter to start with. Like, it was just like a black and white light meter at the beginning. But I like the aspect of being in the dark, and just it's almost like a feeling of power, knowing that this guy is standing next to you and they can't do anything about it and you're about to take him out. It was so brilliant the way that game's done. And that's what made Chaos Theory so good, was because there were two of you that were able to do it, and whoever created the game and came up with the idea of if you were on talking on microphones, you had to whisper because you had a meter at the bottom of the screen that showed you whether or not the bad guys could hear you or not, how audible you were.
Yeah, like, the game was so good. And that actual thing is a big discussion point I saw a little bit ago, that stealth games these days are just meh because they're all crouch-based and line-of-sight-based. Like, that's it. You could crouch, and I have, like, straight up walked next to people, and they're just like, oh, yeah, he's crouched. I guess I can't see him. But back in the day, like, with this kind of stealth-based game, it was all about the lighting. You shoot out the lights. You make the hallway dark. You can see in night vision, but you watch the enemies kind of struggling to move through the dark, and you have the advantage. Or they'll try to turn the lights back on. Like, it added this different variation to this. Like, it felt like real stealth, not just crouch stealth.
Where, and we had, like, three or four ways to that you could go through an entire level.
Yeah.
Like, different pathing that you could take, and it was neat. So, like, if you were really skilled at if you were really skilled at the stealth part of it and you wanted to stay on the ground, you could do that.
Oh yeah.
Or if you turn around, you go, I want to go inside the rafters, or I want to go inside of hide behind these servers, or whatever you wanted to do, you could do it that way too. Like, it was just, it's brilliant on some of it was
level design, and the Splinter Cell games are just above and beyond what we get these days. Like, they were just well done for stealth gameplay. And dear goodness, please give us some Splinter Cell back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my goodness. Like, Sam Fisher is a badass, and he was super, super good, but it feels like he just got left to the wayside. Like, I guess he just wasn't a big enough pull to sell games, and they just kind of let him die.
I mean, the stealth genre is a very niche area anyway, so...
Mm-hmm. Especially now, I would say. Yeah,
a lot of people don't have the patience for it. Like, they want to just be able to go through the game and beat it. And,
well,
and
that's...
Especially when it was streaming.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was going to say about it. You're right, stealth is niche these days because everybody's so concerned with how quickly they can get through it and be done with it. And be like, oh, I played this, okay, next. I played this, okay, next. And it's like, nobody really wants to, like, savor it, it seems. I'm not going to say nobody. That's not true. There's still plenty of people that do. It's just less people. More people are in the, like, get through it next, get through it next, get through it next. And at that point, I just got to ask, why are you playing games?
Right.
I mean, I've seen some people, especially when it comes to streaming, like sometimes they don't even finish the game. They play something until the next big thing comes out, and then they instantly move on to that whether they've beaten the game or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. No matter what the decision on whether it's a remake or a reboot, that Michael Ironside is still doing the voice of Sam Fisher, because he's the voice. And if you can't get him, because I mean, he's probably in his 70s now, if I had to guess. But if you can't get him, like, at least try to find somebody that can sound close to him voice-wise, just so we have a similar voice that we're used to carry that over.
74.
There you go.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yep.
Yeah. I hope we get a good one. I really hope we get a good one. I know it's too slow paced for the majority of gamers these days, but I'd still love to see it.
Yep.
All right. What else?
Well, we were talking about stealth. So, the Shadow of the Mordor game that we loved that came out was originally supposed to be a Batman game. So some of the footage came out from it. It surfaced online, which I believe when we first talked about the game and the Nemesis system and all that, I said it'd be great for these different types of game, and Batman was one of the ones I named.
Well, we talked about how it felt like it played similar to Batman as well.
I remember my first thought after playing it for like an hour was like, wow, they took Assassin's Creed and Batman and just mixed it together and gave us Shadow of Mordor. And I was like, this is like you got the perfect gameplay along with the perfect system. Like, holy shit, Shadow of Mordor is good.
Yeah, when I saw that really headline, good. I was like, I'm shocked.
Not really, though.
Do you think it's what you use in court? Remember they were getting sued from Assassin's Creed 2? Do you think they just turn around and go, did we, though?
That's funny. Surprising.
I do think that the Nemesis system would be great in a game like that, which is why they're doing a Wonder Woman game with the Nemesis system in it. So I'm still, just because of how good the Nemesis system is, I am full in on a game. I'm not, I haven't pre-ordered it. I'm not purchasing it day one, but my eyes are on it just because of that system. And, and unfortunately, we don't have very many games utilizing that system.
It is a cool system.
One of the few games that I like can point to and be like, this system is revolutionary. This shit. Use this in other games. This would make a top-notch Assassin's Creed game. Like, holy shit. Imagine, like, the Templars.
Ubisoft doesn't know how to make top-notch Assassin's Creed games anymore.
Like, imagine the Templars coming back at you after learning your techniques, or you try to assassinate one, you think you kill him, and he fucking pops up later when you're trying to assassinate somebody else, and makes, like, just comes after you. Okay, cool. Now you either gotta fight him or fucking try to vanish again. Oh, you ran away from him? Well, he hunts you down for a third time and has an ability that makes it so that you can't escape him this time. So now you do have to fight him. The AI, like, the director is getting smarter. The enemies are getting smarter on how to, like, trap you or try to reverse your play style. Like, that stuff is what makes me excited to play games. Like, because right now, a lot of games are just zoom, and you just run through it without much of a challenge. That's why I always like Shadow of Mordor. You kill a bad guy, and then you're working on somebody else, or you got two bad guys, and you go to try to kill them, and then the fucking one that you killed like 4 or 5 hours ago shows up and is like, oh, you thought you killed me. Well, I'm back, bitch.
Oh, God, I also like the fact, though, that if that bad guy killed me and you were playing your game, he would then come into your game, and you could, like, that was just so awesome.
I could hunt him down and then send you the rewards back. Like, yeah, oh, like, God.
It's such a brilliant way to do that.
That is why I just want to scream at Warner Brothers for just sitting on this system for so long. They made two games with it, and then now the Wonder Woman game, which is fine.
They're trying. It's like they're trying to only use it with licensed game instead of coming up with. And I get Warner Brothers got a lot of licenses, but it's like, come on, like, instead of using your own license, you could just, hey, developers, what kind of game do you want to do, and create your own IP. It's built into that, and then maybe that game gets popular enough that, I don't know, you create a TV show or a movie or something like that to put on Max. I don't know, but it's just, that system's got to be utilized a lot more.
Yes, nice. Like, the biggest fucking sad thing in the world of games is that, like, that not using the Nemesis system in any way at all, like, not even trying to use it, is just sad. I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see how they do it in the Wonder Woman game. So,
yeah, I'm interested because even like if you're talking about the Batman thing, I was thinking about like, at what point do you stop them coming back? You know what I mean? And how do you lore wise create that inside of, you know? Because I know that happens a good bit in comic books anyway, but. How do you present it with the Nemesis system in that respect?
For something like the Batman game, you capture them, you send them to Arkham. Now,
and
you
then
either
they escape.
You either have to try to keep them in Arkham, or if you're too far from Arkham, or you ignore it for too long, they've escaped. And then, you know, you get a warning that's like, so and so has escaped Arkham, and you either have to go back to try to catch them or finish what you're doing, and then you go back and they're gone, and they show up later. That.
Yeah, like, I could see that.
Definitely options that they could have done, but I'm glad that at least we got Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War from it.
Right.
So, not enough for me, but you know, it is what it is. I've been preaching about this damn thing for years at this point, so I'm sure nobody's surprised.
Both better than the Golem game.
Most anything is better than the Golem game, except for the King Kong game that came out the same year as the Golem game recently.
The year of flops.
I was so mad about that, too. I was like, so glad I didn't buy it, but at the same time, I was so mad. Because I wanted a good King Kong game since the last one.
You'll never get one.
No. No, probably not. So we all love our video games. We love to make sure that we have hold on to our library as much as we can. It looks like Xbox is setting up a preservation system to be able to hold on to a bunch of the old games. And it looks like backwards compatibility is going to be a continual thing for Xbox, however long Xbox exists.
Good.
Which is nice. I'm really excited about that and interested to see what that's going to entail in the future too, like what that's going to look like 10, 15 years down the road.
Yeah, you know, I don't know why I just thought about this, like how they're trying to preserve your libraries and things like mm-hmm. this. And it also kind of goes into this other article too, is like, I never realized that Steam allows you like permanent preservation too. Like if you ever get a game and have it in your library and they take it off the store, you still got
it's
it.
It's still
forever.
In your library, yeah.
Like it's still yours forever. Like, and now with the family sharing thing, like we have full circled back around to where if you want to borrow your friend's game, you can borrow it straight to your PC, and you know it doesn't interrupt them, and you can just play it. So Steam has offered the ultimate game preservation style, which is nice. And speaking on that, Phil Spencer has said that he wants more digital storefronts on Xbox too, which again, if they have Steam on on Xbox, then you have your library permanently. But you've always got access to it. And if they do family sharing, then you know, you have access to your brother's library or your dad's library or things like that. Like it kind of shares across the whole board.
I'd be interested to see how that's going to end up looking if they are able to pull that off on Xbox, because they mentioned the Epic Store and then was it itch.io or whatever it's called?
Itch.io.
Which is an indie store. I had to look it up because I had no idea what it really was. I'd never heard of it. Because right now, you basically all you have is the Xbox store available to you, the way that theirs is normally set up. And then you have so if you add those in, how are those going to integrate? Are you going to make it to where they have to have a controller compatibility in order to be able to download out? Let's say Steam as an example. Mm-hmm. Those are the only ones that are going to show up. So it'd be similar to like, right now, if you look on Steam, you have Windows as an option, Mac as an option, Linux as an option when you go to purchase. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if it'll do something similar to that, but it'll be with controller available. It's going to be interesting if that ends up happening. But I like the concept.
Yeah.
I really do. And it keeps them out of hot water because it looks like the FTC is coming after everybody right now for
exclusivity.
So.
Which I didn't put this article in here, but I thought I would say something about it since talking about the storefronts on Xbox. Apple is allowing emulators on their phones for the first time ever. Of course, it has to abide by laws and regulations, of course, but they are allowing emulators now. Or emulators, very specific ones, but it's a step in the right direction that, you know, allows more access to the iPhone platform or the Apple platform. So some evolution in that department so far. We'll see where that goes. Now, if you play Diablo 4 on Xbox, there's no Battle.net app or anything like that. You like I
How does it work?
Imagine if it's like everything else, it's whatever somebody else has. Like, so like if you have like EA, if you have an EA account, you log
into
the
account. You got to sign into the account to do that.
I think it's the same way with Blizzard stuff too.
Okay. Because I love Game Pass, and I'm going to complain about this. I'm going to complain about this. God damn it. With Game Pass right now, you have, like, every time you open it, now for me, it opens up my Riot client and it opens up Battle.net. So I get, like, opening up that now opens up three different clients for me.
Really?
It doesn't show because I've got the Riot client, and it's a necessary thing, which, being me, I have found a way around it. You have to actually go into the Riot client and remove permissions for other apps to be able to open it, but it resets constantly. So every time I go to open it up, I've got to shut off the permissions, reset it so that it doesn't open it up. And I can't close it. I can't close either one of them while the Xbox Game Pass app is open, because it's like, oh, well, the Game Pass is open, this needs to run too. And it's like, ugh, it's annoying.
See, that defeats the purpose of linking your account. Because, like, if I'm linking my account normally for most stuff, all it's doing is giving me credit to be able to link across multiple devices, right? But the fact that it's still having to pull up a browser of some sort or a client of some sort is just annoying as shit. Yes. Because it's one extra thing that's running in the background while I'm trying to play a video game, which we're trying to streamline everything.
Yeah.
To start with.
I mean, like, Steam does it too with Ubisoft or the Bethesda Net Launcher or whatever else. It's so irritating. You try to play a game and it opens up another browser, and then you got to play the game from that browser. And it's like, bruh, I get it. Everybody's got their own fucking browser, which keeps all of their own games in their own little area. But God, is it annoying trying to play one game.
And then it opens up
the good thing, though. The good thing about the Battle.net and Game Pass thing is I don't have to open up Game Pass anymore to play Diablo 4. Like,
you can open it from Battle.net?
It's a dependent way. Like, you open up Game Pass and it opens up everything, but I could open up Battle.net by itself and run Diablo 4 without Game Pass in the Riot client. So
it linked backwards, basically.
Yeah. So it's fine like that. Same thing. I can open up the Riot client and it won't open up Game Pass, but if I open up Game Pass, it opens up everything. So most of the time, I just leave Game Pass alone.
That's interesting. It's almost like there should be a setting inside of Game Pass for that.
I know, right? Like, don't open anything unless I click play on one of the games that needs, then you can open it up. But otherwise, just leave it closed. God damn it. I don't need it running in the background.
Well, at least you don't have to worry about the Windows running in the background if you're playing one of the other two. So
yes, it is very. I like that. So I don't got to worry about one of the Game Pass popping up. And then opening up Riot Client while I'm trying to play Battle.net now. So at least there's that. Very happy that I could just throw up Battle.net and play Diablo 4 now. It's convenient. I've been playing it, enjoying the shit out of it as much as I can. I think I'm burning through the game very fast.
How fast is very? Like, what?
I mean, I think I'm halfway to cap. I think I'm like level 27 or some shit, and I haven't even finished Act 1. And I think the it's like 3 acts or something. I don't know. I'm also playing on the hard difficulty too, which increases XP, and it's not hard at all. It's so easy.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been enjoying it. I mean, just having access to it now, I've been wanting to play it, so get that itch out of my way. I've been itching to play it. I mean, I even thought about playing Last Epoch, I think it was, Last Epoch.
Last Epoch.
Yeah, the other ARPG style game is like a mix of Path of Exile and Diablo 2. So I was like, oh, maybe I want to play that. And then they're like, Diablo 4 is coming. And I was like, I'll just play that. I already have access to Game Pass. I'll just play that.
Game Pass means it's free.
Yes. Well, no, I pay for Game Pass.
Well, yeah, but it means that you can play as many things as you want for free. So.
Yes, it is. It is fun to have access to all of that.
Yeah.
Game Pass is
awesome. I haven't played a bunch of Diablo 4.
Yet.
I think I hit like 13, and then I got sidetracked with Star Wars Galaxies for a little while.
I think that's about where Red's at too. I think he said he was 16 because he wanted to play with you guys, like alongside you guys, and I think he's around 16 too. So But you know, Red, he has like the attention span of a gnat sometimes, so.
Yeah. And the tragic thing is I've already done this whole thing during the beta part, and 20 was the open beta cap level. And I'm already 27 and I haven't even gotten back to where I was when I finished open beta.
So, were you playing on hard then too, or is there even
No, I'm just playing on the normal difficulty.
Oh, okay.
So I'm playing on hard and just like blitzing through everything.
Well, speaking of games that we're playing and for free. You want to talk about the content warning thing?
Content warning. That game was free for like 24 hours, and that was it.
Yeah,
and
they just released it as free, and then went back. And that's a wild way to do some promotional stuff for your game.
Much respect for it because it makes some good content. And if you could become, if you could trend with that, then you know the people who are a little bit of late bloomers can be like, "Oh, that was pretty good for $8." Sure, why the fuck not? I'll go ahead and throw it down and get it. Everybody seems to be enjoying it, so. It kind of gives people an early preview so that they can get a lot of reviews in and kind of generates a little community around it. Yes. So it's good.
But it's a small team. I think they said 5 people that work on it, and they're having some server issues. But I guess maybe they are having server issues because they didn't expect it to make quite such a splash, but you did launch your game for free, and that's the best price for everyone. So, you know. But they're working on it. That game is, we tried it out, and we don't really know how to work it yet, as far as, like, what the game wants from you, but it was a lot of fun.
Watching some people play, I think it wants you to use the mic. Like, it's almost necessary to use the in-game mics.
Well, that's fine. We definitely will.
Yeah, I did, because it allowed you to run solo, just so I could see the difference between it. And so... I went in and went down and filmed for a little bit, found one thing that was scary to film, came back up, turned the thing in, and then saw what y'all were talking about with the chat on the side and all that stuff. And I ended up with like 500 views, and you have to get like, I think 3,000 total or whatever. Yeah, and it was just me by myself, and it was probably, I was probably down there for a total of 5 minutes and filmed all but 29% of the thing. So it was, I had 29% of the film left, so I was like, okay.
You play like, with me, we don't leave all of it until it's 0%.
Everybody was
leave.
Good except for Kat, and he's like, get out there and get the camera. It had like 15%. Go get the camera and film
yeah,
the
like,
rest.
Get the camera, make more content. You either die making content or don't leave.
Yeah, it was interesting though. I like the graphical difference. Like
from
between
the top side your, down below,
top side of the downside, yeah. Like it's yes. Just, it's so nice.
I like
it's
that you just, get to make your own perfect. Little face for the your character. Yeah.
Yeah, mine's just oak.
Oh, I saw one of the items. I saw one of the items that you get, and again, it's probably like we need to get further on, but it's a taser on a stick.
Ooh, I want that.
And yes. You can tase your friends,
oh,
and they have no idea
it.
What's happening. Like, you could just, like, touch them with the taser, and they just kind of, like, stiffen up and fall over. It is hilarious.
So it's
remember,
a more stationary version of the stun gun from Gmod.
Remember, it's for content. Don't try this at home, folks. Zap, get it on camera. Get it on camera.
Griffin's
I like
gonna
that there's a stealthy option as well.
In front of a monster just to record them being eaten.
At one point, I was like, we need to get more views. What can we do? And Red had the camera, and I was like, Red, film it eating you. He's like, no. I was like, do it right now. So he did.
I love, because it reminds me a bit like Lethal Company, but I love that they offer healing styles in this game.
You hug so people.
You have a how to hug book and a defibrillator. Now, the book you actually have to hold, and you like while holding the book, you can give other people hugs, which like heals them for like 15% of their health. You have to give them lots of hugs to heal them back up to full. So you got to make sure you got a camera person, a hug person. Like, you got to make sure you go in like prepared once you get more stuff. Like, it's a really neat game. It's fun
I
for like
wait to play more
party
of it.
Night.
You would think Kat would be the best hugger, but
she was.
She let well from what I got to watch from y'all playing, She did like fucking let Grip die.
Oh, that's just... true. I was like, hug me, hug me. She's like, I can't right now. She's standing right next to me. I was like, I'm right here, and there are monsters running around. I was like, hug me. She's like, oh, I can't get to you. I'm right next to you. I died. The thing turned into killed me, and I was like, I was right next to you. What happened? Why wouldn't you hug me? She's like, I thought you were the one across the room.
And the game doesn't feel so futile like it does in Lethal Company. Like, when you see monsters, you don't feel like you're just going to die right away. Like, they're intimidating, and you have to be careful of them. But you can make some pretty good content. Like, they don't instantly kill you. The one that, like, slithers around and whatnot with, like, little Mewtwo hands and whatnot will, like, grab you and shake you up in the air and then whip you. Like, throw you up against the wall or some shit. But you don't die. You take some damage. If he does it again, you're going to die. So you got, you know, you just got like, yay for content, then run away before he fucking grabs you again.
I do like that it does facilitate people running around and yelling, hug me now, please hug me.
It's a fun game for sure. And you can save your little videos too. So like after you've done, you go out, you put it in the little disc maker thing, and then you take the disc out and you
everybody
go into
piles
the,
into the living room to watch
the
it.
Living room so that everybody could like watch your video together. And then you got a little like AI chat log on the side.
I like it lets you chat. Save it too.
Yeah, you can save it to your desktop so you can always have your videos, things like that. It's fun stuff. It's fun stuff.
It is a cute little game. For $7, $8, it's $7.99, so $8, yeah, like worth. It's cute. Oh, we've enjoyed it the little bit that we've played.
Definitely need to get some more.
Yeah. Although it's also one of those things where it's the time of year where we have less time now, so it's like, I have to be more judicious about what I'm gonna spend my free time on.
I know.
Oh.
Not like Halo.
Yeah, Baka and I started playing. We made it over halfway through Halo 2 last night.
You know, started playing Halo. You almost finished Halo.
Yeah, we're on mission 9 out of 15. So, and
I learned how to launch a tank through the air.
He also crushed me with the tank. He's hit me with the sword. I have a little revenge, but it's not even my own. It's through the game because I turned on Skulls That Don't Matter. And I have it
she
where
says
the
Skulls That Don't Matter. I want to debate
it,
that.
It doesn't give okay, I guess what I mean is they don't give anything to the score multiplier. So it's one of those where it does stuff but it doesn't count towards anything. But I have the ones where when the grunts die, they explode in a plasma explosion. And that I also have all of my explosions are 2 times larger. Do not melee the grunts. Do not melee the grunts. Just don't. And try not to kill the grunts when your friend is running in front of you. Oh, man. It makes it almost like a horror game at some point, though, because you're like, I saw a grunt, but I don't know where it's at. Where is it at? Is it right around this corner? Am I about to die? It's a lot of fun, though.
Especially if you come up on a suicide grunt, your friend's standing too close.
So far.
Yeah.
So far, none of those.
Then it's back to the checkpoint.
We've had a couple of times.
She did make a room of stuff explode, and then some of the debris went flying and smashed me into a wall.
I didn't know that was going to happen. In my defense, I didn't expect the physics to work that well. But it did. It crushed him. I was like,
I mean, we played the thing in Halo 3 where shit goes flying all the time and kills us.
Well, yeah, but that's one. That's a custom map.
I still have all those maps, and everybody needs to make sure they download the Halo Master Chief Collection, because we could throw it out at some Halo 3 wablam.
Oh, dude, I'll play some Halo all day.
Halo 3 wablam with 8 people in that small-ass cube and just watch everybody just die instantly. Spot up, throw a grenade, and fucking pray. Like, oh, God. Somebody spawns with a rocket launcher, boom, everybody dies.
Yes.
Octakill or whatever the hell it is. Killionaire.
Although, make sure when you download the Master Chief Collection that you go into the settings and go to gameplay and see what your actual installed content is, because downloading the Master Chief Collection downloads the hub and not the games themselves.
Yes.
That is correct.
So,
it's always
PSA.
And you get a choice of whether you're doing the campaigns that you're downloading or the multiplayer.
Yeah.
My recommendation is, that at the very least, download the Halo 3 multiplayer. That's at the very least.
Yeah, I'm wondering if do y'all have that on Steam, or are you playing that through Game Pass?
Got it on Steam.
I have it on Steam, but we play with that through Game Pass. So
Okay, so you're all able to.
Yeah, it's cross platform.
Okay, I didn't feel like that was going to be a big deal, but I just wanted to know.
Yeah. Like when I loaded it up, it's like, hey, what piece are you going to use? The gamepad or mouse and keyboard? Because there's cross play automatically enabled, and depending on what you pick, is going to be, you know, what your lobbies fill out to be. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I don't care. I'm going to play with mouse and keyboard, but it is nice to know that there's cross play enabled. So. It's all under your Microsoft.
Yeah, account. On that one, I'm controller and controller.
Yeah, controller.
I was controller, but man, after the games with Griff being too close.
Chicken and I had our anniversary was this past week, and so we always, 16 years of playing games together. We always try to play Halo because that's where we met. And so we played Halo 3 multiplayer just between the two of us. Man, I have never kept games so close with him. I won 2 out of 5. He won 3, okay, but that's only because I don't know Epitaph well enough. He got like 3 kills on me, and I'm like, how did you get there? And he's like, you just jump over this and this, and it's right there.
All I gotta say now is, like, I don't play with controller enough to be as proficient as I was way back then, but you put an FPS in my hands with mouse and keyboard, and I'm a whole different beast.
Well, we'll test that out soon, okay?
I got but you.
Let me feel good about it, okay?
And I swear, if you got that aim assist on, I'm gonna be throwing hands.
I kept him within like 2 points, I think, for almost all of them, which usually, like, just for context on this.
Okay, for context,
usually I felt good if I could get within 5 points of him. So
for context, we played. I'm just gonna use an estimation. We played for like 60 minutes total, all of the rounds. I used the gamer position for about 10 to 15 minutes total, and everybody knows what the gamer position is. You go from this to this.
Yep. Yeah, but I
was laid back in the chair, and she started getting scores on me. She was like 3-4 up on me, and I was like, So I sat up and just started smacking her around. I was like, okay, it's even again. We're sitting back. Like, if I did not try hard, because before I had to try, but now I have to try hard to make sure she doesn't just whoop my ass. So every now and then I had to hit the nitro to make sure I could stay ahead.
That's still somewhat dangerous. Come on.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, she is.
Have I replaced Red as your number 2 now? Come on.
Red is number 2.
That's mean.
That is my phrase. I am sorry. Red used to be my number 2. Like, he was a beast, and I always kept him as like my side player. Like, he was always the second player. But over the years, he has just gotten, no offense to him, he has just gotten casual, and he has lost a lot of his skill, and he just is not to the level he was before. So he went from being number 2 to being a number 2.
I
still love Red, but
yes, we love Red.
Bro just isn't there anymore.
For Halo, I was always a number 2, so
that's okay. We have a lot of fun playing it together, and that's what's really important.
I had my own games that I could wreck with. So
yes,
only if I win do I have fun.
We could
unfortunately
do,
that's like only
we
for
could
Halo,
eight
though.
Together. We could do Griff Ball.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to have to find a Griffball map, though.
I'm sure we
can find one on the file share. I just don't
all
have
of my
one.
Old videos, all of my old videos from like 15, 13, 14,
corrupt,
15 years
they're
ago
from
are
Xbox
all corrupted.
360. What do you
I
want?
Got all my maps and game modes, though. Like, all the maps are still there. All the game modes are still there, but all of my files are gone. It's like, do you want to delete these? And I'm like, no.
It's because of the way that they were created. They were created in the engine.
Hey.
And
let's see.
Is what it is.
Yep. Bye. And I'm still, because they took down the Halo website like years and years and years ago.
The Bungie.net site.
No, I took a picture of the game that I met Griffin from all those years ago, and I still have it. Let's see. When did I?
Aren't
take
you
this
romantic?
Yeah.
One. Okay. This was from January 14th, 2021.
That's when you found your screens. Oh, that's because that's when they were going to start taking the site down. So you went
ahead
and
saved it.
That's when
they took the site down. Because I would always go back and look at my old games and whatnot. But they were like, oh, yeah, we're getting rid of this website entirely. You're not going to have access to it anymore. And I was like, oh, well, shit. Can I just post that there? There you go. Okay. I posted it in the Respawn thing. You could see the game. You could see the date and the time that everything shifted
for us. Man.
Yeah, for us. The four Red Rings.
Yeah.
4/4/2008 at 10:34 p.m. That night, I had school the next day, by the way. I stayed up till like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I had to get up at 5. Let's just say kids don't make the best decisions.
That they know.
Man. Well, we've been playing a few things, I guess, but that was definitely a recent highlight. It's interesting to see when things that we used to play come back into our purview, because then we get really excited about it again. So I imagine in the next few shows, we'll probably hear us talk about playing Halo.
Oh, man.
It cycles out. Don't worry. We'll get over it and go with something else later. But
man, know. Just a few more years, it's going to be 20 years since we met Griff.
I know.
Ugh.
We did play some Lethal Company, and what else did we do this week? Or these couple of weeks? Because we haven't been here.
We played a bunch of Friday the 13th, too, which is good. Oh, and speaking of such, I think it was Baca that found it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me super happy. Super happy. A modding community is coming out with a way to play the game after support for the real Friday the 13th is gone. It's called Friday the 13th Rebirth, and I think it's going to take all the assets of the
original game. Think they're even going to be adding new content and shit from the looks of it too.
Yeah, like what was supposed to be added, they're getting all of that, and they're going to add it too, which thank goodness, because I love that game. That game is a ton of fun, especially when you're just trying to escape. 90% of the time I get killed, but I'm always like, let me do this, and I'll just leave. I'll just go away, right? Yeah, just let me go. And then you have people who just like show up and just murk you. Like, no remorse. They just show up, kick open your door, and kill you.
That actually happened. One of the matches where Sentry was the killer. I was like, my first building. I've opened two of these drawers. And then he busted through the door. And I was like, oh, man. And I was dead.
Oh, you want to know you want to know the best death of the night? It was mine. Murdering you? Of course. No. It was the best death of the night.
Okay.
So I spawned up. And I literally walk towards the first house, and it's Sentry's first time to be the killer. And he's like, oh, and I hear him talking. And I was like, oh, shit. Hey, how about you don't kill me right here? And he's walking at me, and he's like, I'll teach you how to kill, use your abilities. And then you can just let me go. Yay, just let me live. And so he's like, okay, fine. So I telling him how to use his abilities, what they do, how to use them. And I was like, you could also put down traps and things like that and whatnot. And I was like, you can put them down near cars and people can, you know, it'll stop somebody from getting it. Like, cool. He puts one down in front of the car, and I was like, all right. And he goes to wander off, and I go into this house that I spawned next to finally, and there's a battery in it. And I was like, hell yes. All right. I could take a hit. I'm also playing one of the girls who's a good engineer. She's really good at repairing stuff. So I was like, okay. Get the battery. Afterwards, I can go find a med kit or something, you know, somebody to heal me. So I walk back out, and he's not anywhere around me. So I'm like, cool, this is perfect. So I start repair. I take the trap. I get hurt. Fine. I knew that was going to happen. No big deal. I start repairing, and then I hear Baca's loudspeaker coming over headset. And I was like, oh, shit, somebody's running up on me. And then I hear Sentry yelling over top, and I was like, oh, shit, I need to finish this. So I finish it real quick, and I look behind me, and I see somebody coming across the bridge with a Jason right behind him. And I was like, oh, shit. So I run around the car, and I go to run away, and I hit the trap next to the gas can and die instantly. And I was like,
you did that to yourself.
Are you serious? I just died. He let me go, but apparently I killed myself. I was so mad. I was like, seriously? I didn't even get a cool death. All I got was murder. That was it.
One of my favorite parts of the night, and the way that this game works when you're playing with your friends, is sometimes it's good. It's just funny. I was off by myself, because I usually am. I feel like if I'm ever in the group, I am going to die and get everyone around me killed. So try to stay in this game, like, kind of off by myself. And I went and found the cabin where the sweater is at. And Bog is like, who's over here by themselves? What are you doing? You're trying to get the sweater. And I was like, well, I always get the sweater. And he's like, what are you doing over here? Are you trying to kill me? And I was like, no. And then, like, for the next 15 minutes, I'm standing, like, in the street with Jason. It's just, like, the little survivor girl and Jason. And we're just, like, having a conversation because I was like, well, I can't call Tommy Jarvis to do the kill thing because I couldn't make the phone call. Like, the power's not on. And he's like, well, you just got to go turn on the power. Like, Jason is trying to murder us, but nah, he's just here shooting the shit with me about how to turn the power back on and get your stuff up and running. He's like the most helpful killer ever.
That was
the game. Like, I only killed like two people. Then I just ran around, popping around, fucking around. Like, I only wanted to kill one person, and then it was either Snitty or was it Oak?
It was Oak and City.
I think you killed Oak and City.
Yeah. Well, one of you two.
Well, because I kept hitting you in the face every time you were trying to hold somebody, and you go, "Oh, you're definitely dying now."
And then I was just fucking around, and fucking Oak just hit me, and I'm just like, "Okay, I'm just gonna
pick
fucking
up my
kill
friends."
You.
That's what
I
happened.
I can't blame him. You're a killer. He's trying to stop you.
I wasn't gonna kill them.
That was such a weird map, though, because both the phone and the radio were in the same building.
And the power was out to them.
Yeah.
You could have repaired it right outside.
It took me forever. Like, I spent, like, 10 minutes in that cabin. Yes. Oh, I put the fuse in, and I spent 10 minutes looking for the stupid phone because it's, like, this big on a wall that is the same color as the phone. And I couldn't find it because the power was out, so it wasn't putting the little prompt circle up over it. And I was so mad.
For the Tommy Jarvis one, you just have to repair the power outside. You don't need a fuse or anything.
I didn't know the power was broken. That's the thing. I didn't know.
The fuse is for calling the cops.
Yeah, I put the fuse in. That's the thing, is I had found the fuse in another cabinet.
But shortly after you put it in, I popped up and was like, oh, so someone repaired the thing. I'm just going to cut the line.
I didn't know you could do that, so I had no idea. I was like, why can't I find the stupid phone?
And the Tommy Jarvis call thing was next to it, and I couldn't do it. It was like two houses down.
I was so mad. For that map, it was in the same house. The phone was on the wall next to the bathroom, and then right outside the bathroom was the Tommy Jarvis call thing, and I was like...
But the power supply, I thought you said that.
Okay.
Because the power supply only powers up a certain area. There's like 2 to 3 boxes for...
Yeah, this is one of the things that Jason was telling my little survivor girl as we were standing in the middle of the road. And I was like, okay, this makes sense now. Like, most normal conversation.
Next time, I don't think any of us... Well, I have in a multiplayer game, but I don't think any of y'all have killed Jason.
No. I've had the sweater for stuns. Because I like to find it. I think we might have.
I haven't.
Next time we're all eight to set up and do it. I'll be Jason, and I'll try to walk y'all through and see if we can get an achievement for that.
It's not too bad if you just gotta have a sharp weapon with Tommy.
You have to knock off. You have to have a sharp weapon with Tommy. You have to knock off his mask. You have to stun him with the sweater, knock off his mask, and it has to be a female character, stun him with the sweater, and then while he's stunned, then you attack him with
Tommy,
and then boom.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult in a live game. Very difficult, because trying to get all of those situations, those requirements right while he is actually trying to kill you is very difficult.
Yeah, you definitely have to have some characters that have some strength behind them to fucking hit that mask off eventually.
We wanted to play Midnight Ghost Hunt because we had 8, but it wouldn't, because it finally full launched. Like, that, it's out of early access, it's got its full launch thing. We were all so pumped to play it, but then one of us couldn't get it to work properly. And it's like, no, I just want to see it, I want to be a ghost.
Didn't it work for Snitty beforehand, though?
Yeah, it has in the past.
I think part of the problem with him is that he hasn't turned off his computer in like a month and a half, so it was really struggling to do.
Yeah, he to fucking turn that shit off.
Does that bother anybody else? Like, for me, that's like, you've spilled something on the floor and it's been there for a month and a half. Why have you not cleaned it up yet? You just gotta turn it off.
It's like a human. You need sleep. You have to turn off your PC every so often. Like, yeah, it's okay to run it for a while, but
just
you have to turn it off.
Just restart the damn thing. But like, you...
you got to do something to help, you know, clear the cache or let it reset or something like that. But I've watched him for weeks on end just be away on Steam and be away on Discord, and it just sits there for weeks. It's like, I was going to say something Saturday morning, but he was off of Steam and off of Discord, so that means he shut down his PC. So
finally, or it shut itself down.
And there's no telling how much electricity he's using just in background processes being sitting there.
I know, right? But
yeah, he also needs just upgrades in general.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we're gonna.
Yes, he does.
So many things that need to, like, we need to upgrade this. He needs to upgrade that. We could give him some of our stuff once we upgrade our stuff. Maybe it's just like, oh my god, all of this stuff. I don't know. Have we been doing much else?
Not really. I've been playing... I played a little bit of... I think it's called Inscription, which is a deck builder that's... It's interesting.
You mean your basic card decks, not like sit on the deck. Okay.
Well, I mean, okay, look, there's
a supermarket sim that has taken off and you are literally just a cashier, okay? It could have been a deck builder.
She's not wrong. So, it is a card deck builder.
Thank you.
The concept is basically you're in a cabin and a guy is telling you a story and you're using the cards to produce and go through the story, but you can actually get away from the table and inside the cabin you're at, there's puzzles that are in there.
This game's been out for a little bit, hasn't it?
It went out? Came out 2021, 2022.
Okay. Like I feel like I've seen...
You've more than likely seen the style of this game.
Yeah.
I think I've actually seen videos of this game.
Yeah, and it's really, really good. Like, the way that it's built is interesting. So, like, you have basically blood sacrifices you have to make to be able to draw the card. And then they'll do that one. And then now I've unlocked bone, to where you use bone to be able to do it. And there's certain criteria that make both happen. And then you're battling as you go along, too. And the little dude's in the background, and all you see is eyes that you're playing against. Like, the guy that's telling you doesn't really have a face, but when you go up as he's one of the bosses that you have to go up against, he takes a mask and puts it on and becomes that particular boss that you're up against. So it's really interesting. The design of it's cool. And you've got one of the little cards that'll talk to you. And he's kind of helping you in a way, the little card is, to try to progress the outside part of the story. So going in through the cabin and doing certain things in there too. So it's really neat the way that it's designed. I like it because it at work, if you have a customer come in or whatever, it's a pausable game. I like being able to pause. Yeah, so you can kind of play it casually.
Speaking of that, I definitely have to complain. Diablo 4 is not pausable, and that is frustrating the shit out of me.
Oh, it's live?
Like, yes, it is a live game, and it frustrates the shit out of me. Like, I don't mind. Like, I like playing those games, and I like to be able to play them, but goddamn. If Nuggy comes up and needs something, which I don't usually play when he's around, but if he comes up or if I have to do something very quick, I can't pause it. I've got to run away.
You feel wife aggro.
I've got to run away or teleport back to town. I can't just be like, okay, what's that? And just pause the game and walk away. Why is pausing in games so difficult these days?
I'm going to guess with that one specifically is because they designed it to be a multiplayer online game and you can't pause the world state for your online buddies. So even though you are playing in the single player, they don't have a differentiation.
No, it's a live action. It's a live game. Like, I see people wandering around. It's almost MMO style.
Oh.
So it's similar to Destiny, where you can see the other people running around.
Yeah, like I run around, I end up with people doing events with me, things like that.
That's why, is because you're online.
I know, and it's frustrating. I don't need to see other people.
There's not an option to turn that off?
No, you have to be online to play that game. That is an always online game.
Dumb.
They've got to stop that.
If there's a single player facet of it, it doesn't have to be, like, you shouldn't be required to be online. You should be able to opt in to that and not have it be something that is a requirement.
But it's one of those things where fucking companies see multiplayer as a competitive style, where like if you see other people, you're trying to like compete with them, so it generates this kind of interaction inside the game that makes your game more popular. So they want like people to people interaction to keep driving their game forward, which I understand. But also I would like the ability to just be able to play the game by myself offline and pause it. Like I can do that with Diablo 2. Like it's a completely single player set game, which I could pause at any point. Like pausing games just seem to be a thing of the past, which is getting real frustrating.
I'm not a fan of
not pausable games. Although in Baldur's Gate, even like you can hit the journal or whatever, but the city stuff is still happening behind you. The upside is, since it's turn-based combat, if you're in combat, just walk away.
Yeah, thankfully I could just pause, like I could just let it go. But still, you can't pause Baldur's Gate either. Like
like time just is give still me going. A pause button.
Yes.
I've been playing Mass Effect. Like I don't know why, but I had the bug to play it, and it does have a pause button. So. Yeah, but I'm playing
with Dragon Age 2, Griff.
Yeah. I have been playing the first Dragon Age. I had to have Chicken come. Dragon Age Origins. I made a mistake in my party comp, and I'm also an idiot. So let's just go ahead and throw that all out there. But I was in the Orzammar, which is the dwarf area, and you got to do all the underground stuff. And there's a point of no return, and I did not realize it was a point of no return. And so I didn't have as much consumable stuff as I probably should have. And I also, one of the people in my camp was like, I really want to go on this. It's very important to my, you know, storyline and things. And I was like, cool, okay, you're in the party. So it's me, a warrior, Alistair, a warrior, and Ogryn, a warrior, and Wyn. Okay, that's a mage, cool. Yeah, don't roll three warriors.
It's not that bad, and I'm not gonna try to.
I had to have Chicken do it. I couldn't. I had like locked myself into a place that I couldn't get out of because I couldn't do the fight. So yes, you can make fun of me. I was terrible.
I'm not gonna try to pick on her, but being a old school gamer, I understand that there's more to the game than just, you know, playing it. Like she never, and in that old school Dragon Age games, she never changed the tactics of her people, so everybody was on like default, which means if they got attacked in melee, they would start chasing people down to fight. Like all of her people would just run away and start
chasing
the other.
It worked out for me so far.
The enemies and start like even her healer would just run off and start attacking. It's like, bruh, no, stop it. So I went through and I adjusted the tactics on every single one of them so that they would actually play like you want them to. Like Alistair would just be like, somebody hit me, I'm gonna chase him down, and would like leave Wyn completely exposed. Like, no, you stay on defensive, you use these abilities like this, you stay near the main character so that you could play, you know, play supportive that style tank.
Look, all of my characters were just as like ADD as me, where it's like, ah, get it, get the thing. Hey,
except for Wyn. Wyn was on default, and because the tactics was set up, she only used three abilities: heal, rejuvenate, and heroic defense, or whatever it was. And I was like,
heroic aura.
Girl.
Aura.
Yeah, heroic aura. I was like, girl, you don't even have Wyn doing anything by herself. Like, if you're not doing it, all she is going to do is just heal and stand there. It's like, what? Put her on cautious, give her the healer preset, and then let her actually do her job. So I set up everything and I one-shot it. So
yeah, he did the fight super well.
A little salty about it, but I was like, this is what happens when you set them up to actually play the character.
You know, it probably would have also worked out better if I had a party comp that was worth a damn. I mean,
it's
three warriors,
bad.
Two of which are sword and shield, like, you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna give her a ton of shit for this. She made Alistair, and Alistair is usually the tank.
Yeah.
Why in the any part of the world would she make herself the tank too? I don't know. Like,
I took taunt because I wanted the last thing in the tree, and I didn't. I meant to give him taunt, but I didn't because I can't remember what I took instead.
Oh yeah, that too. I will just yell at her for that, because Alistair, her tank, she didn't even give taunt to. It's like, how do you expect your homeboy? Yeah, that's good. That's a good stance to have. But how do you pull the enemies off of your healer or pull the enemies off of you or the DPS?
He turns around and is like, hey, I don't like your face. I'm going to hit you now.
Especially when your DPS character has taunt too. It's like, this guy should have taunt. This guy right here should have taunt to help you.
I'm bad. Okay, look, I'm bad. I play the game for the story content. I do not do as well with the min-maxing and actually making it function.
It's not min-maxing. It's literally setting up what you want.
No, I said and making it function.
Tactics. Yeah, I was going to say it's tactics. Like, look, telling your healer to be a healer rather than just being dumb.
It's because half the time I'm playing her. I swap to her and do all of the stuff.
I wonder why, because Wynn doesn't know what the fuck to do. She's just like, eh, I'm going to stand here. If somebody hits me, I'm going to run off into the void and die to being surrounded by people. But, you know,
yeah.
I'll try to heal. It's like, girl.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I fixed it. We got the fight down, so she can move on now.
I'm sorry. Thanks for fixing it, though.
Yeah.
Now that I'm, like, 2/3 through the game, I can, you know.
I'm still useful after all these years.
Just means that when I get to the Landsmeet part, I'll be a little better off. Oh my god. Okay, let's. Do we have anything else to talk about? I have to go wallow in my shame now.
No. I don't think so.
What else have we played?
Really, we haven't played much.
Yeah, we've been a little busy.
Our Friday nights usually turn into the party nights, but I mean, mostly it's just Friday 13th or First Class Trouble or Lethal Company or just random stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Just Act Natural.
Just Act Natural. Ooh, that's our jam right now.
Anything else?
Won.
Who did?
Snitty finally won. He has the curse of always being in second place no matter what. So he finally won.
Griff let him win too.
I just started blasting,
she had it,
okay?
She had it. She had it tied, but she started taking shots to try to stop him and then just dumpstered her score.
Yeah, you take negatives if you shoot the things that are not the real people, so.
Mm-hmm. So.
I just started blasting.
She just let him win.
She's being nice.
Snitty, you're welcome.
She'll be nice to us, but she'll be nice to Snitty. Great.
Well, we like, I think it was last week, we just basically shit on Snitty all night long for getting second. At one point he was in second place, or he was in first place by a large margin, and I was like, watch how this works. And I was like, first Griff is gonna overtake City, and then Kat's gonna sneak up to second and push him to third, and then he's gonna take second, and then Kat's gonna push for the win. And unfortunately for him, it played out exactly like that.
It did.
Like, he was so salty that it actually played out like that. And he ended up second, losing to Kat.
Who came from, like, last.
He quit. The last game that we were playing, after Kat took the lead, he just quit the game.
I think he got kicked, but it was perfect timing.
I think he quit.
That's just him coming back going, oh, I got kicked. Oh.
Yeah, I got kicked. That would have won.
Too funny. Anything else?
No. Nah, I think that's it.
Oh, we do appreciate everybody that hangs out every other week at Infinite Respawn. As always, you know, just make sure that you hit the sub button, the little bell button down at the bottom, you know, and make sure you hit the like as well. You know, I think that's it. Nope, twitch.tv/elitechicken313. Make sure you hit the follow. He's busy right now, but hopefully back in the fall.
I'll be back.
Hit it. And then and make sure you go to twitch.tv/mdboTree. Where I'm on there about once a week on Sundays usually, because I'm busy as well, so yeah. We gotta do what we gotta do. But River Respawn, I'm Oak Tree.
I'm Griff.
I'm Chicken.
I'm Bucket.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye.